Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. As you get older, one of the really difficult parts of getting older, one of the most difficult things about getting older, is that you start to lose people that are very beloved to you in your life. And I know that age isn't necessary, no one's time is guaranteed, death can come at any moment. Yes, of course, that's all true. So someone younger can lose someone close or beloved to them as well, absolutely. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that there are rules and then there are the exceptions to those rules. And so the rule is, as the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic narration, أعمار أمتي ما بين 60 و 70. The average, the median age of my ummah is between the ages of 60 and 70. And that's the norm. And then of course, unfortunately and tragically, there are exceptions to that rule. But as I was saying, one of the things about getting older is that you start to lose people that mean a lot to you. One of my teachers who passed away maybe about 5 years ago, and it feels a lot longer just because when you miss someone and you feel someone's absence in your life, time goes a little bit slower. But one of my teachers who passed away about 5 years ago, I'm reminded of something he used to write. He was a prolific writer. He wrote nearly 100 books in his lifetime. I never saw him except that he was reading or writing. He used to spend at least about 12 hours a day behind that desk, reading and writing. He was an unbelievable person, remarkable. And so he was very fond of writing, and so he used to write letters. I also was studying with him back in the 90s where writing letters was still a thing. So he was very fond of writing letters. And he used to actually complain quite a bit about us to us as students that you guys don't write back as frequently as I write you. And at the end of all of his letters, he used to sign off by writing an expression. It's a statement, it's an expression in the Arabic language. And he used to write this at the bottom of every letter. Man kana lillahi, kana Allahu lahu. Man kana lillahi, kana Allahu lahu. He used to write that whoever dedicates themselves to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of that person. And he lived his life with that value. He used to write it not because he was preaching it, not because he was teaching it. He used to write it to remind himself that devote your life, your existence to Allah, and Allah will always take care of you. The reason why I brought up this story, it's not only something I've been thinking about recently. I was just reminded of him and his memory, and so I was thinking about this. But the session that we have here is about putting your faith and putting your trust in Allah, and Allah being a refuge. Your relationship with Allah being a refuge for you. Where you know that everything's gonna be okay at the end of the day because you got Allah by your side. And I wanted to touch upon a couple of stories from the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ which demonstrate this. In the early part of the mission of the Prophet ﷺ, about 4 years into his mission, there was some good movement in Mecca. Not huge, but decent. There was about 100 or so believers in Mecca. And there were enough believers where they were becoming noticed. And this was being seen as a problem in Mecca, that we now have these Muslims and they're growing in number. How do we stop this? So at that time, the Meccans started going after them, persecuting them, torturing them, killing them, whatever needed to be done. But we got to stop these people. And they went as far as starting to kill some of them. Like the family of Yasid, the father Yasid, the husband Yasid, his wife Sumayya, the mother of Ammar. Right, they ended up starting to kill people. So at that time, the Prophet ﷺ made a very strategic decision. He told a group of Muslims, about 11 of them to start with. He told 11 of them, I want you to leave Mecca, sneak out of Mecca, and go to East Africa. Go to what was called Habasha, Abyssinia, East Africa. I want you to go there. For there is a king there, a Christian king, but he is very just and he is very hospitable and he grants asylum to anyone who goes to him. So he says, go. So these 11 people, they leave Mecca and they make their way to Abyssinia and they're able to find refuge there. At the same time, once they arrive there safely, the Prophet ﷺ starts sending more people there. And before you know, you have a decent sized community there. You have a decent sized community there. Some say that it eventually grew up to being almost 70, 80 people. And so you have this decent sized community that's living there in refuge now, in asylum. Quietly, with a low profile, minding their own business. They've already sacrificed a lot. They've given up their home, their businesses, their wealth, their family members, their relatives, their tribe, everything they've given up. But now they're here and they're living with a low profile, hopefully safe and sound. But the Quraysh in Mecca did not leave them be. They pursued them. And they sent a couple of dignitaries after them, a couple of representatives, a team, Amr bin al-As. They sent them after them to go and try to bring them back. Amr bin al-As had an old standing relationship with the king of Abyssinia, An-Najashi. He had an old relationship with him. So they came with lots of gifts and presents for the king, for all of his ministers. And then he pleaded his case. He said, there is a group of our people. They are criminals. They are wanted back in Mecca. And they ran away. And they've come here and they are seeking asylum here. And I am here to collect them and to take them back. The king said, okay, I understand your concern. But I cannot just hand people over. I have to hear their side of the story. They've come to me for protection. So he calls the Muslims, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, Ali's older brother named Ja'far, he's in the group. He tells everyone's frightened, what are we going to do? Ja'far tells them, relax, let me do the talking. Now I want everyone to process the emotion in that moment. You believe in what you have accepted, what you believe to be the truth. And you've announced your faith to your family and to your community. As a result of doing what's right, you've been persecuted, you've been tortured, and your life has been threatened. You eventually escape in the middle of the night, leave your whole life behind, and travel to a completely foreign place, hoping to seek refuge there. And when you arrive there, you think, just the moment when you allow yourself to breathe, to exhale, to relax, just a bit, the enemy shows up, happens to be best friends with the king, and is now talking about chaining you up and taking you back home to be tortured to death in chains. Imagine how scared, how frightened, how freaked out you'd be. How nerve-wracking that moment must be. What do you do in that situation? Ja'far, who was trained by the Prophet ﷺ himself, he is part of the Ahlul Bayt. He is trained by the Prophet ﷺ himself. The Prophet ﷺ later on would say to Ja'far, أَشْبَهْتَ خَلْقِي وخلقي. You resemble me in looks, and you also resemble me in character. Has anyone been ever given a greater compliment than that? You look like me and your character is like me, the Prophet said to Ja'far. Ja'far has learned from the Prophet what you do in that situation. He says what? He says, guys, I got this. Now what's he going to do? He's going to do the only thing that you can do. But unfortunately for us, a lot of times it takes us being completely trapped in a situation to realize. And what does Ja'far do? He goes and he stands in front of that king with the delegation from Quraysh right there, looking at them, eyeballing them. And what does he do now? He recites the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kaf ha ya ain sad. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال ربي إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا. And the wisdom of what he recited is so profound at so many levels. He recites a part of the Quran that not only speaks about Mary and the son of Mary, Jesus, because again, he's in the court of a Christian king in a Christian land. But the verses, the passage actually starts off and begins by talking about the power of dua. That when Zakariya had been wanting a child for his entire life, and he reached the point of being so old he couldn't stand up straight anymore, he did not despair. He found Maryam, his student and his niece. He found her sitting in the mihrab, the small corner of Masjid Aqsa, where she used to worship God. He finds her sitting there eating fruits that don't belong in that region and aren't available in that season. And he says, "Anna laki hadha, where did you get this from, Maryam?" قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. She says, this is from God. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. God can provide for whomsoever He wills without any restriction or limitation. That's what I've learned from you, O teacher, O Prophet of God, Zakariya. Zakariya hunalika da'a Zakariya Rabbah. Zakariya immediately goes to the masjid, and in his own corner of the masjid, he stands there and raises his arms up to the sky above his head. And he asks Allah that I know that I'm old and I'm decrepit. My bones are falling apart. My hair has gone white. My wife has not been able to bear children our entire life. But I will not despair. And in spite of all of that, I trust you, O Allah. I turn to you, Ya Rab. Please give us a child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously presents them with a child. Your faith is your greatest refuge. Your relationship with Allah is the ultimate place to turn. When there's nowhere else to turn. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. When harm afflicts you, only Allah can remove it. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهُ. Who can remove hardship from you? Who can take away adversity from you? Who will allow you to regain your dominance within the earth? It is only Allah. Allah is the only way, the only place to turn to. And I wanted to conclude here by mentioning the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from one of the most difficult moments of his life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he eventually despaired, when he eventually realized, not despaired, but when the Prophet realized that these people of Makkah, they're not listening. They're not listening. He didn't give up hope that they would believe. But he understood that in this moment, they are not paying attention. They are being stubborn. So in that moment, when the Prophet ﷺ said that these people, they're going to need a wake-up call. They are not going to listen. They're being stubborn. He decided to employ an alternative strategy. And the alternative strategy the Prophet ﷺ employed was that the Prophet ﷺ, he decided to explore communities outside of Mecca to see if there was any other communities that would believe in this message. And the first community the Prophet ﷺ went to was the community of Ta'if. It was the second largest city in Arabia, home to the second largest tribe of that region, Banu Thaqif. He went to the city of Ta'if. Now we all know that the journey to Ta'if was very difficult for the Prophet ﷺ. It was only him and his companion, Zayd bin Haritha, who was like an adopted son to him. Only the two of them went because they didn't want to attract a lot of attention. And they went on foot. It took them a week to get, 3 or 4 days to get there. And they stayed there for about 3 days. And then it took them about 3 to 4 days to get back. This whole journey lasted 10 days. When they get to Ta'if, they try to meet with the leadership of Ta'if to try to see if they would allow them to talk to the people. The leadership of Ta'if, who were three brothers, the sons of Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, they, all three of them, rejected the proposal of the Prophet ﷺ. They did not listen to him and they rejected his proposal. The Prophet ﷺ said, fine, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go back to Mecca. And him and Zayd departed from Ta'if. But they decided that they were not going to let the Prophet ﷺ leave so easily, so comfortably. So they came after him. And they set the dogs after him. The troublemakers in the streets, they sent them all after. They gave them money, they incentivized him, and they said, go harass this man. Don't kill him, but harass him. And those individuals, they lined up outside of Mecca, outside of Ta'if, on the road to Mecca, and they waited there for the Prophet ﷺ, and when he came there, they threw rocks at him. For 3 miles, till Qadm al-Manazil, the distance from Ta'if to the place called Qadm al-Manazil is 3 miles. For 3 miles, they threw rocks at him. And when they finally desisted, they finally stopped, and they left him alone. By that time, the Prophet ﷺ, they were targeting his feet to try to injure his feet. His feet were soaked in blood. The skin had come right off the top of his foot. Because he used to wear these sandals and the top of his foot was exposed. And it's like his sandals were soaked with his own blood from his feet and his legs. And he finally sat down under the shade of a tree with his feet bleeding. Feeling weak and tired from all the blood that he had lost. And Zayd is sitting there crying because he doesn't know what to do. What do I do? I'm not a doctor. What do I do with his feet? And while they're sitting there, and it's such a difficult moment, the Prophet ﷺ taught us what to do in such situations. There's only one thing to do. The Prophet ﷺ raised his hands up, his arms to the sky, his hands above his head. And he made the following prayer. Allahumma ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas ya arhamar rahimin. O Allah, to you alone do I complain of my own weakness. Only to you do I complain of my lack of resourcefulness. I was not resourceful enough. And only to you do I complain that I did not command enough respect in the eyes of these people. O most merciful of all of those capable of showing any mercy. Anta Rabbul Mustada'afin. O Allah, you are the Lord and the Master of the weak, the oppressed, the downtrodden. Wa anta Rabbi, and you are my Lord and my Master. Ila man takiluni. Who will you surrender me to? إِلَى بَعِيدٍ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي. Will you hand me over to a merciless creature and let him violate me? أَمْ إِلَىٰ عَدُوٍ مَلَكْتَهُ أَمْرِي? Or will you hand me over to an enemy and let that enemy have his way with me? Even if that be the case, O Allah, even if you hand me over to my enemies and let them have their way with me, إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. As long as you are not upset with me, I do not care. Nothing that transpires with me. These people can do their worst. It does not matter to me. It makes no difference to me. As long as you are not angry with me. Because you're all I care about, Allah. He goes on to say, غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. I do ask for your protection. He then says, أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ. I take refuge in the light of your face. الَّذِي أَشْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ. That is so powerful that it can dispel all the darkness. وَصَلُحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And it can fix all the problems of this life and the next. أَنْ يَحُلَّ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبُكَ. I just ask you, O Allah, please, oh please, never be angry with me. Oh, أَنْ يَنْزِلَ بِيَ سَخَطُكَ. Never send your wrath and your punishment upon me. لَكَ الْعُتْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى. I will continue to serve you until you are pleased. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ. And there's no ability to do the right thing. And there's no strength to resist doing the wrong thing. Unless and until you give it, you grant it to us, O Allah. Allah and our faith in Allah, our relationship with Allah is our ultimate refuge. Everything else is a mirage. The Quran says it's like a mirage. It's a trick. You think you have something, but the only thing you really have is your faith in Allah. And I'll leave you with the verse in the ayah of the Quran that I'd like everyone to really think and reflect upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants and my slaves, they ask about me, I am here myself, Allah says, to tell them, I am very near, I am very close, I am always accessible. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَى. I always answer the call of the one who calls me whenever he or she calls out to me. Allah has always been waiting. It's us who haven't been calling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all faith. Say ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength in our convictions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our faith and our belief a refuge and a protection for us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.